freedom.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Tomas. Let me say that again. Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvizzuto. Lived well, Mr. Lived Well.
That's pretty good.
Giuseppe Bonvizzuto. You say it a lot nicer than I do.
I've had more practice.
I guess. And I forget every once in a while. So anyway, Thomas, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Drew.
So we are here on an open show. In an open show, our listeners are our guests. They get to call in, ask any question that they want to. So, you know, last week we were talking about cybersecurity.
Yep. Exciting topic.
People might not have been interested in cybersecurity, so they might have turned the radio off. Other people might have turned it on and said, wow, listen to this, my cybersecurity. I've never, you know, this is a great topic. But tonight, our listeners get to ask the questions.
That's right.
They get to say, this is what I want to hear about. So here's my question. Can you help me answer it? Whether it's income taxes or estate planning or insurances or investments or IRAs or 401ks or elder care planning, or if it deals with your personal finances, if it deals with the money you have and the money you make and whatever, and you want to ask a question, I feel confident that we're going to be able to help them tonight.
That's right. They are the guest.
They are the guest, and they get to ask the questions and lead the agenda tonight. So if you want to call in, now's the time to do it, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and be a guest on our show and determine the agenda of the show tonight, 410-922-6680. And always at the beginning of the show, it's the best time to call in, because if you do, you're going to get the most attention to your questions.
Right.
If you call in later, like after 6:30, you start getting jammed up. Three or four people are on the line and so forth. So 410-922-6680. And before we go there, we're going to do a Drew's View. But you also had a
Tom's take.
Tom's take. Do you have a take today?
Oh, you know, I mean, I was following up on some of the issues you brought up last week. You know, Tom's take was the issues of scams is really, you know, and it tied into your cybersecurity discussions last week. And I've had some friends with some of these scams. One of the interesting ones has been about, just the obituary scam, I'll call it. You know, in the old days, you remember when we were kids, parents didn't want to put obituaries out there because they didn't want you to know when you were at the funeral home because people would rob your house.
That
was a big thing. It was the big debate about what to put in the obituary. Well, now people are using those obituaries to target folks and do research. So we had a friend recently. Dad passed away about 7 months ago. And about a month ago, the widow was called, and the person called up and made believe they were the son-in-law. And they got this information out of the obituary, and that he was somebody that traveled. They searched him on the Internet. They figured out the son-in-law and the daughter-in-law. And with all of that, they made up a story, and it caused the mother-in-law to send money to what she thought was the U.S. Embassy. They gave her the phone number, and she called it up, and they answered, U.S. Embassy. You know, I'm just so concerned. And my mom, you know, she's in a retirement community, and we see the retirees get targeted with this. We see the widows get targeted with this. But all of us, I'm hearing story after story of scams. And, you know, I think whenever people call you, recognize that when they're calling you and there's an emergency and they're pushing you to give them credit card or wire money, do not do it.
Do not, yeah. Or they tell
Check.
You you've won something and you've got to put up money or you're going, if you help them get this big treasure, you know, it's definitely a scam.
Yep.
You got to be careful of everything. Anything that looks suspicious, assume that it is. And if it's for real, you know, they'll figure out how to get in proper touch with you.
Exactly. Check independent sources and look into these things. Do not send the money be very, very careful. The government, we may be critical sometimes about government, but they will not come after you in the ways that these scammers are coming after you.
Oh, sure. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. And so, you know, you got to be very careful nowadays. And the emails you receive, you got to make sure you don't click on things, you don't open attachments, et cetera.
Right.
Don't click on links, you know, because that's just the easiest way to get infected and have, I mean, we had a client clicked on a link on an email, and it was before he was a client of ours, a client of a big mutual fund company around town, and almost had his entire account wiped out because of the information he had given on this click link that he hit and started to fill in all his information. And they used that information to try to wipe out his entire millions of dollars account.
Right. Right.
So you got to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
careful of everything nowadays.
That's right.
So we have one caller on the line. Plenty of lines open if you want to call and be a guest tonight. 410-922-6680. We're on an open show, and I'll do my Drew's View later. For right now, I want to go to Mike. Mike, this is Drew. How you doing?
Hey, Drew. How you been?
Well, I've been great. And you?
Oh, not bad. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Wow. Well, it's good to talk to you now. What are we talking about?
Well, look, I want you to try to explain to me and the listeners, you know, what is with the market swinging back and forth? Now, let me try to explain it a little bit more precisely. A couple weeks ago, well, now, actually, last Friday, the jobs report came out Wednesday and Friday, of course, like they always do, with job growth and the economy, I mean, the unemployment rate dropping to 5.9, and the market sells off.
Right.
The IMF yesterday reported that the jobs and stuff of the past won't be the norm going forward, and that Europe was looking at a triple recession, and the market sold off. Then today, the Fed comes out with its minutes, and the market rallies almost 300 points. You know, I know why it happens, but maybe the audience would probably get the correlation as to what happens and why interest rates affect the stock market and the bond market so much.
Well, I think that's part of it, Mike, but there's a lot more going on here than just that. So in normal times, when these numbers come out this way or that way, and you get these good reports that the Fed's going to keep interest rates low, or they're going to keep money supply and liquidity high, you're absolutely right. Those types of things normally will push the market higher, and that's what happened. That's what has happened over the last 3 or 4 years. Okay, the market's been going higher because the Fed has guaranteed we're going to keep interest rates lower. We're going to keep liquidity coming. The ECB has been saying the same thing. The Japanese yen has been saying the same thing. But what's happening right now is getting a little more interesting. Okay, and let me try to give you another take on why it's vacillating so much. You go down a point and a half yesterday, you go up a 0.7 today, you go up down a point last week, you go up a point the day or so later. Why is it doing this? And the answer is because I think we're getting to the end of the central bank era. In other words, I think that investors are getting to a place of realization that the central banks may not be able to save us. And so you've got this tug of war going where there are a bunch of investors say, no. When central banks come in and they provide liquidity, the market's going higher. And then you've got another group of investors come in like a week or two later, or a day or two later, and say, well, I'm not really sure now that that's true anymore. And we've got this tug of war going on right now in the market where the market's worried, are the central banks really going to continue to be able to save us? And the other side saying, I'm getting concerned that they're not. And the other side saying, no, they have to. I mean, look, you know, they provide all this money, and when all this money gets in there, the market's going to go higher. And it's been proven that over the last 100 years or so. And there's another side to say, I'm starting to get skeptical of that, and I'm taking money off the table. And so this tug of war is going on. And one of the things that was interesting today to me was you would have expected such an explosive day on the market. The largest rally yet in 2014 came on some of the lowest volume and some of the lowest advance to decline volume that we've seen in the last month or two. If you go back and look at the negative days over the last month and look at the positive day today, it's surprising. You had 10, 15 to 1 negative volume on some of those bad days. You had 3 to 4 to 1 positive volume on this big up day today. You know, the market's definitely deteriorating. The transports didn't lead. They've been the general throughout this whole five-year rally. The transports have been the general. Today, they were only up 0.9%, way off of the mark of their high of 8,700, only at 8,200. You know, you also see the small caps. They had a good day today, though. I got to give them that.
Nice bounce
but
back
they
there.
didn't have that super juice they normally have. Normally, when the market's really rallying and it goes up 0.75 on the S&P, the small caps would have gone up 295 or something like that. They only went up 180. And so, anyway, Mike,
let me ask you this, Drew, before I let you get off. Now, do you think that part of that might have been some short covering and maybe some bargain shopping? And, you know, see, my take on it is that if the economy is truly strong enough, you know, then we don't face a double-dip recession and everything's good. But if the other side of the market says, you know what, if it's not healthy enough and we raise interest rates, then we've had this because there's been no other place to put your money to get any return but the stock market. So the smart money, would say, well, you know what, let's lock in the profits now. Let's look at earnings seasons. Let's look at jobs. Are there good jobs? If the housing market is still weak, the autos are looking, and they've been doing some crazy things with finance, student debt. You know, we got political tensions in Ukraine and stuff like that. We got Ebola scaring people in the U.S. You know, I look at it that way and say, you know, if there's a risk-reward, because you know that when the Fed wants to cool the economy, they raise interest rates. When they want to stimulate it, they lower it. So the balance is do I want to risk what I've gotten, or do I want to take something off the table?
Yeah, I understand. And I'll address that when I come back a little more, Mike, okay? Right now, we got to go to traffic with Maggie Hunter. Take it away, Maggie.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. It is Wednesday night, and we're on an open show.
Yes, we are.
And so an open show means our guests, our listeners are our guests, and we don't have any guests on the line. So we are totally devoid of guests at this moment in time. But we would like you to be the guest and ask the questions, otherwise we'll just ramble on what we want to. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to get on. And if the lines do get jammed, you can always do that little secret 800-922-6680 if you want. But no listeners on the line right now to ask any questions. So we'll just talk about what. So, you know, we were kind of addressing Mike's question. You know, Mike said that if the economy heats up too much, the Fed slows it down. And when the economy slows down, the Fed heats it up. But you see, here's the problem with what Mike said. That is true of when you're in a regular economic cycles between like 1940 and 2008. That's exactly what happened. So 68 years, that's what happened. When the economy slowed down, the Fed juiced it up. When the economy heated up, the Fed slowed it down. Those were induced Federal Reserve. When you come along to those years like 1930 and 2008, where you have a debt bubble like we had in the 1929 stock market and we had in the 2008 real estate market,
right,
and you get a debt implosion, it is not Fed controlled. It is not Fed-induced. It is actually debt-induced. They happen once every 50 or 100 years, but when they happen, the Federal Reserve sort of loses some form of control, and they have to figure out how to get that control back, and that's what they've been trying to figure out for the last 5 years. Now, they seem like they did that, all right? They seem like they did quantitative easing and lowering interest rates, and here's the U.S. economy recovering, everything's looking great. But, you know, the difference is that we're much more of a global economy now. And so the ECB hasn't necessarily done everything that the Fed has done. Japan is still in a deflation mode for 25 years. You know, China has still got all kinds of issues that they, you know, along with their controlled economy, but also their debt expansion that they've put on over the last 5 years and been trying to figure out how to slow that down themselves. And so the problem that you have right now is that the central banks don't have, they pretend like they do, and a lot of investors believe they do, but that's why these markets are having this tug of war. That, you know, and you know, whether it's going to last for a year or 2 years or what, we don't know, or whether the Fed will in the central and ECB and so forth will get this right in the end, and we'll look back and say, wow, look what they did, this was fantastic, or will we look back and say, boy, they really blew this one, you know, they look like they were doing great, but in the end it actually made it worse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the Fed has had to try things they've never done before with the, you know, the QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4 forever. They're just still trying to figure this out. And as they unwind the QE now, the quantitative easing that they've done with buying these treasuries, buying these mortgages, and now they're stopping. Well, then they gotta get out of that, change that balance sheet. And you know, the question is what effect that can have on the market? And the fact that the Fed's not going to raise rates anytime soon, that they're more dovish, I wasn't surprised by that news. I mean, that's what they've been saying. They've been pretty consistent. But I think your point is there's a belief by the Fed and belief by the markets that the Fed will be able to do it. And we're not so sure that they're going to be able to, you know, do it.
And let's put it this way. You know, if investors get to a point where they lose confidence in the central banks,
right?
You thought 2008 was scary? Mm. If investors lose faith in central banks' ability to keep the markets under control, it could get really, really interesting.
Yes,
that's about the best I can say about it.
It's all about confidence.
That doesn't mean that you should be running for shelter. Right. It just means that you don't want to have all your eggs bet on the market going higher forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's all about planning and diversification and, you know, different pools of assets and the like.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Asset allocation is going to be extremely important as we go through the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're on an open show. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, I've got Gary on the line. Gary from Park Heights. How can we help you?
I'm going to be very sweet on the air because last week you thought I was who knows what. But let me say something. We have a race coming up that I think is very important where I look at both of them, and I have finally decided if you got a dollar, you don't give it to your next-door neighbor. What I'm trying to say is,
when you say a race, are we talking about Maryland's gubernatorial race?
Maryland's gubernatorial race.
Right.
I can't believe the ads that they're knocking this guy. What's his name? Not Brown.
Hogan?
The other guy.
Larry Hogan?
Who cares what you got in your house as long as you got a license, whether it's a machine gun or whatever? Because, hey, if someone wants to shoot you, don't worry. They can get a gun somewhere. I work out here on the street 60 years, and anything I want that's against the law, I can buy. But guess what? I don't do it. I live very honestly. And I want to know why these ads are knocking this guy. I think they should be taken to court. They're liable. Anyone said something about me that I didn't do, we go downtown immediately. And I'm wondering why he hasn't really put in a complaint in the court.
No, well, you know, it's a good point, Gary. And we got to roll on because we got other things we got to talk about, too.
Let me hear what you got to say.
All right.
I'm going to hear about the gubernatorial. It's very important to me.
I understand. We're going to talk about that in 1 second. You listen on the radio, and we're going to be right with it, okay?
All right. Have a blessed day.
All right, sir. Take care. You know, he makes a good point. He's mm-hmm. talking about gun control and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Anthony Brown, Larry Hogan, you know, unfortunately, it's Maryland.
Right.
You know, I really don't know a lot about Larry Hogan. Right. What little I do know, I like some of the things he has to say. The problem is that there's probably slim to no chance that he has to win. And so why should I get myself hyped up one way or the other? There's no excitement entering this gubernatorial race. The Democrats are a disaster for this state. I've said that over and over. I said that Maryland is going to experience a serious event sometime in the next whatever years when one day the federal government wakes up and the state government wakes up and realizes that, you know, having an economy that is totally dependent mm-hmm. on government employees of right. some sort, be it state, municipal, or U.S. government, mm-hmm. which is what Maryland is.
Yep.
Michigan got wiped out because they were concentrated on auto workers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Texas got wiped out because it was concentrated on oil. Mm-hmm. Florida and Las Vegas got wiped out because they were concentrated on new real estate development. You know, we're concentrated on government. We are totally non-diversified. You can argue with me all you want, but I've looked at the statistics over and over, and it's government, 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 government in this state. You know, look at our clients. You know, our client base is huge amount of Social Security, Medicare, teachers, contractors to the government, NSA. Yep. That's a huge faction of our clients.
Sure.
And if you have a cutback, as you would expect, Maryland's going to have some difficulty. Now, the good news is the federal government prints the money. So if they keep printing the money and keep the employees going,
right.
you know, it might be 40 years until Maryland experiences it. But one day they will. Let's put it that way.
It's going to be an issue.
Anyway, we've got to go to Traffic and Maggie Hunter. We're on an open show today, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, right now we're going to see what's happening with Traffic and Maggie.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're on an open show, and it's Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto.
That's good.
But I didn't say it as nice as you say it. But anyway, we're on an open show. We don't have, you know, we've had only two callers so far. It's like, you know, listener land just disappeared today, you know?
Well, we need to talk about the Orioles or the Ravens, you know.
Are the Orioles playing? No, that's
not yet.
Friday.
Not until Friday.
Right?
Friday's
so
a big day.
Maybe they're listening to sports talk right now, and they don't care about us at this point in time.
Fantasy football leagues, they got all sorts of stuff going. It's a beautiful night, too. It's, you know, a beautiful October night. They're out there.
Looking for the blood moon.
The blood moon, yeah. They're working on their tax extensions. They got a week left on those. You know, who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. So. Anyway, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. One of the things that Drew's view that I had I wanted to talk about, I did this a few weeks ago, but I want to just reiterate it.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of our listeners, anybody who's out there still listening, it may only be five people out there now, right now listening, but you five people, if you have a bank account,
mm-hmm.
a brokerage account, a mutual fund account that is not an IRA or 401k or something. You just have money invested, after tax money invested,
mm-hmm.
and you do not have a Roth IRA, and you're using somebody who's a financial advisor. You need to wonder, why do I not have a Roth IRA?
Yep.
There is absolutely no reason that if you have any money to invest in a bank or a mutual fund or a brokerage account or whatever, after tax dollars, and it's not being filtered into a Roth IRA over the last 16 years, Tom, mm-hmm. 16 years, mm-hmm. that you've missed not getting that money tax-free into a Roth, you have a problem with your financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, well, my income's too high. Well, that's ridiculous. because we got clients that make millions of dollars, and we still are able to filter money into Roth IRAs if you know how to do it.
That's right.
And you got to be careful. You got to know how to do it.
That's right. Well, and we've seen people mess that up, too. We've seen other advisors think they know how to do it, and they don't do it correctly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen situations where we make a big point as to how to do it, and they go to their own accountant, and the accountant doesn't do it, and we have to come back in and make sure that it gets done right,
That's
so
right.
forth.
That's
so
right.
You got to be real careful about this, but there are ways to do it, and whether your income's a lot or a little, there are ways to do it, and you should be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
right.
Stephen in Hunt Valley, how can we help you?
Yeah, good evening. I have a question about donating to a charity on my estate.
Okay.
It's better to donate. Like I have some life insurance policies. I mean, I have 401ks. I have non-qualified money, qualified money, life insurance. You know, I have.
Well, life insurance is probably the last thing you want to leave to charity. Probably your IRAs and 401ks is the up at the top of the list that you want to leave to charities, because that's all taxable money that will pass through your estate, and if it's left to a charity, it becomes 100% income tax free. They'll get the biggest bang for the buck out of it. Your heirs will lose 20, 30, 40% in income taxes depending on what their tax bracket is. So that's where your focus should be when you're talking charities if you have IRAs and 401ks.
Could you say one more time? Your heirs will lose 30 to 40% if you do what now?
If you leave, let's say you had $100,000 you wanted to leave to charity, okay? And you had a $100,000 life insurance policy, which is tax-free, okay? You had a $100,000 brokerage account that was tax-free going to your heirs. And you had a $100,000 IRA or 401k, which when it passes through to your heirs is going to be completely income taxable still to them. And every time they take money out, they're going to lose 20%, 30%, 40% in income taxes, depending on how much other income they have, Stephen. If you gave that $100,000 to charity, they'd get it 100% tax-free, and now your heirs are left with the insurance and the brokerage account, which is already 100% tax-free to them. See what I'm saying?
Gotcha. So,
IRAs and 401ks is the simple answer to the question. With what little I know from what you said, that's where I would focus my charitable giving.
That sounds kind of what I was interested in knowing. Okay.
Yeah. Now, be real careful, Stephen. Let me just suggest one thing. If you're going to do that, make sure that you separate any IRAs and 401k, or let me just say it, IRAs, separate whatever IRAs you're going to leave to charity and what IRAs you're still going to leave to family. So let's say you have a 100,000 IRA, but you only want to leave 25,000 to charity. And the other 75,000 you're still going to leave to family. I would split the IRA in two. I would do a $75,000 IRA and make the beneficiary my family. And then I'd take a $25,000 IRA and I'd make it the charity. And there's very specific reasons that I don't need to go into tonight as to why we would do that.
Okay, just do it that way, okay?
Yeah, because you don't want to take a chance that there's reasons for it, okay?
And Drew, you'd even break it up if there were multiple charities. Would you break it in?
No, I would just do one. You know, I would figure out how much do I want to leave to all charities.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say it's 25,000. I want to leave 10, 10, and 5. I would just do the percentages, you know, whatever. What does that work out to? 40, and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I would do it. All right, Stephen?
Can I ask a second, or do you, another one, or you got other callers?
I got other callers.
Okay.
But if you want to hold on, I can come back to you.
Okay. If you got dead time, come on back.
All right. You hold on. All right. We're going to Jack in Towson. Jack, how can we help you?
Yeah. How you doing? Good show as usual. I got kind of an odd problem. I read an article a week ago about this oil company in the Bakken field out in North Dakota. And I wrote their name down. I was very interested in them because they just bought 85,000 acres of land for expansion. And I can't remember the oil company or, and I've gone online, land acquisition, you know, all that. is there, how would I find out what that company is?
That's a great question. I just saw an article about somebody made a big acquisition in the Bakken Shale area of North Dakota, and I can't remember myself who the heck it was.
Did you Google that?
Myself for not writing it down.
I'll tell you what, Jack, we're going to take a break in a little. Maybe while we're gone, we can try to figure out who that was again. All right?
Okay.
All right, but I do remember an article myself, and I just saw it, and I found it interesting also for some reason.
Would you mind if I called you through office?
You can.
That way I don't want to tie up, you know, anybody else.
I'm just saying that if I see something before the show ends, I'll just mention it on the air in the next break.
Oh, okay.
All right, buddy? All right, take care. Bye. Joe in Havre Grace, how can we help you?
Oh, I wanted to talk to Tommaso Giuseppe Bonvissuto.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
You got him.
That's right.
Yeah, my grandfather's name was Giuseppe, so it's kind of easy for me.
That's
anyway,
right.
How does gold work in a portfolio best?
That's an interesting question, Joe. The thing about gold that I keep trying to express to people is do not believe all this BS that gold is an inflation hedge and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, gold is like any other investment. It goes up and down on supply and demand, period. End of the story. Supply and demand, supply and demand. And if there's overt supply and there's overt inflation, you may not get an appreciation of gold to keep up with the rate of inflation unless that investors really do get, excited about gold for some reason, despite the overt supply. So gold is strictly like any other investment. It's all about supply and demand. So the question you have to ask yourself, Joe, is why do I want to own gold? What am I concerned about? And what's my purpose of gold in my portfolio? Okay, let me break that down a little better. Let's say I lived in Greece right now. If I lived in Greece right now, I'd say to my clients, take 10% of your net worth immediately, get it out of euros, buy gold, and put it in another country like the United States of America in a vault where if the Greek government went back to the drachma and confiscated my euros, I'd still have 10% of my money hidden in gold somewhere that I could get back to if I need to so that I'm not devastated if they did something like that to me. So that'd be one purpose I would use gold. Other people, you've got these preppers, right? Preppers believe the world's coming to an end and they're going to accumulate gold, but they're accumulating gold for when the world currencies are wiped out, they're going to have gold. Now, I'm always wondering to myself, who are you going to trade that gold with? Right. Who are you going to go down to the grocery store and you're going to give them a shaving of your gold to get some food? Well, if you're prepping, you know, who cares? So you have to ask yourself, what is my purpose for owning gold? I either own it because I think the supply and demand is in my favor and I'm going to make money on it by the supply and demand factor, or am I buying gold as a way to hedge against a currency crisis in my country that they're going to confiscate my money like the euro and turn it into drachmas in Greece or into lira in Italy if they were to break away from the eurozone? A great example, I'll bet you that the Scottish people who were worried about the referendum and thinking they were going to break away from the pound, I know for a fact that there are a lot of rich Scottish people who have been buying gold just for the risk that they would break away, form a Scottish currency which wouldn't be as strong as the pound, and their value of their net worth would be diminished dramatically, because that's what they'll do. Mm-hmm. They'll confiscate their British pounds and they'll turn it into a Scottish something or the other, and if they don't run the currency well, boom, next thing you know, you're down 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% of what your overall worldwide net worth was if that currency devalues. And one of the ways to protect from that is with gold. It's a very logical investment to do it with. So you got to ask yourself, Joe, why do I want to own gold before I could answer the question, all right?
Well, I get that. I'm not a prepper, and I'm not worried about the the U.S. breaking up or Texas leaving. So those aren't factors.
So the only reason you'd want to own it is a supply and demand critter. And if that's true, right now the supply and demand is fairly, is getting tighter. But silver is actually the better supply and demand investment story of precious metals. Or palladium or platinum are better supply and demand stories than gold. Gold's a good one. But if gold goes up 100%, silver is going to go up 500%.
Okay. So if precious metals are of interest to someone, are you going to buy the actual metals, or are you going to buy companies that...
That's a whole other question then. If I'm going to just buy it from a supply and demand point of view, I'm going to probably buy an ETF or a closed-end fund that owns the metal. I'm going to buy gold stocks only when I feel the price of those gold stocks have depreciated enough to make up for the operating risk of the gold mining company. Because keep in mind, just because they mine gold, gold could go up, but they can go down a lot in price. And if you just look at the chart between gold and gold miners, they don't necessarily move in sync with each other. So you got to buy the operating companies from a risk-reward ratio of price to the value of what you're getting in the company, and you buy gold from a supply and demand factor, and like silver is now trading below the cost of getting it out of the ground. That's why silver is interesting compared to gold and so forth. I got to run, okay, Joe?
Thanks.
All right, we got to go to Mark Thibodeau with weather. Take it away, Mark.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we got to roll. Tell us who's coming on next week, because that's relevant to the last caller's question.
Yeah, well, Giuseppe was wondering there, who's coming in, because he was talking about gold, and we have Kwasi Kwarteng coming in. He's the author of a book. It's a very thick book called War and Gold, and I think you'll find that interesting, talking about the gold standard, and all that happened with some of the history lessons about war and the Spaniards and conquistadors and all that kind of fun stuff. So.
And our caller that called in and asked about the Balkan Shale purchase,
yeah,
I think the company he was thinking about is SM Energy, and the symbol is SM. That's Sam Mary, SM, SM Energy. See if that's what you're talking about, and we're going to go to Tim in Hamden. Tim, how can we help you?
I was just wondering if you heard about China being number one now. I caught the tail end of Hannity today. I mean, is it all hype or what is
it? It's totally. It depends on what silly indicator you want to use, but China is still maybe it's the second or fourth largest economy in the world, depending on how you want to measure it. So, but certainly not number one. We're by far number one. And any real measurement, China doesn't measure to the United States.
Okay.
All right.
I was just wondering. Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. Leo in Cadenceville, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. This market volatility, as you know, that's when the real money is made. What kind of special strategies are you employing for your customers to profit off this volatility?
Well, you know, we don't do much trading. You know, what we've been doing is just waiting. And, we've caught a lot of heat for waiting and being conservative. But we think that when time's over, you know, people are going to say, gosh, I wish I were more conservative. So right now our goal is, Leo, to survive when it's all said and done.
Well, yeah, surviving is a good plan.
I mean, there are some interesting little things that we might do occasionally, like trading a put option. But we have to really find one that we think is worth using. But right now, it's just finding the investments we think are going to make us a reasonable rate of return while we wait.
And being ready for when there's an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not like we're not invested. We are invested, and we're just not willing to take 100% down right now.
But I meant of taking extra advantage of the conditions.
Yeah, it's very difficult. We're not traders. We don't try to participate in that. All right, Leo?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. And, Stephen, I'm going to come back to your question. I don't know who's on four, but I'll take their question if they want to hold on. Otherwise, we're going to be back next week talking about war and gold.
That's right.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.